So I don't have any slides to go with my sermon this morning, but I do have a visual aid. And I invite you to come and look at this after the service. It's a real sword. It belongs to Ryan, my son. John has machetes, Ryan has swords. I asked him if I could bring it to church with me this morning, and he said, why? And I told Bob, I read the passage, just that verse about, I came to bring peace, but a sword. And Ryan and John started laughing. This was last night. And, when I left this morning with my sword, John was up and I said, off I go to church with my sword. And he said, was that real? Was that really in the Bible what you read? I said, it is really in the Bible. So when Ryan came home from college, this first year of college in mid-May, we went from being a household of two drivers and two cars to a household of three drivers and two cars. And three different schedules, of course. So shortly after Ryan got home, Jennifer Holmes heard of our predicament, and she said, if you would like to borrow Ken's truck for a little while, you're welcome to. So we did, which the boys, we were all very grateful for. And then Jennifer needed it for something, and Ryan and John went to New York for a couple of weeks, so we gave it back to her, returned it to her. And then when my boys got home from New York, it may not surprise you to hear that one of their first questions was, when are we getting Jennifer's truck back? It may not also surprise you to hear that when I told them, well, we're not getting it back right away, they were surprised, if not dismayed. What? Why not? They were even more surprised, and in fact, maybe a better word to use is horrified, when I told them that it wasn't because Jennifer needed it that we weren't getting it back right away, but rather because I wanted them to have a short experience of things just not being easy, a short experience of them having to figure out how to make it work, what we had, an opportunity for them to be a little more aware of their privilege and having to perhaps negotiate with each other or share a ride or maybe even take the bus. They said, we are not taking the bus. As you can perhaps, they are good drivers. Nothing against the bus. As you can perhaps imagine, they thought that was the stupidest idea they had ever heard. And they said to me, that is not going to make us more aware of our privilege. That is not going to, John said, that is not going to make me change my perspective. That just makes me angry with you. And Ryan said to me, and this is the punchline of the story. Ryan said, is this one of those things, just because it's easy, it doesn't mean it's right? And I said, yes, it is one of those things. And then I said, wow, you really actually listen to me sometimes. Just because something is easy, it's not necessarily right. So sometimes I wonder, I've said this to my kids, and sometimes I wonder, as I know they do, if that's just something that I say. I wonder, is there really anything to that? Am I just wanting to make it hard sometimes just for the sake of making it hard? And then I read this morning's gospel passage, which, as you heard, has some hard things in it. And it's one, in fact, that I might very well never choose to use as the centerpiece of a worship service and a sermon if it weren't chosen for me or suggested by the lectionary. But it is the gospel passage in the lectionary for this week. And so I decided, let's just go for it. Let's look at it. Let's dig into it. Let's not be scared away by the discomfort it generates. And I guess I was sort of feeling the opposite of what Ryan had suggested. Just because something is hard doesn't mean it should be avoided. As I tried to think about this passage, I did go back to look at the first 9 verses of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, to see if this stuff that Jesus was saying in our passage today came out of the blue. Had he been all sweet and loving and kind leading up to this point and suddenly becomes this other person without any warning, talking about God destroying body and soul in hell, and about denying people who deny him, and about bringing not peace, but a sword in the hopes of getting family members against one another? Where did this come from? Who is this Jesus? And so I looked back at the first nine and a half chapters, and I saw what appears to be a pattern of sorts, and I want to share that with you a little bit. What I see throughout the Gospel of Matthew is Jesus saying, you'll discover more of God as you discover more of your true self. And the more you discover of your true self, the more you'll discover of God. I see Jesus saying, pay attention to me, and you'll be paying attention to God. And as you pay attention to me, you'll be led to pay more attention to your true self. And the more you can express that true, full self, the essence of who you are, the more you will be an expression of who God is, the essence of God. I see Jesus saying, living within the kingdom of God doesn't look like living in the world. And to find that distinction, you have to find your self, your true self. And as you move more fully into that, you move more fully into God, into knowing and experiencing the fullness of God. And then you begin to live more fully within the kingdom of God. And then you begin to bring more fully the kingdom of God to earth. Jesus is constantly showing the people around him God, who God is, and what the kingdom of God is like. And he's constantly telling them how to find it for themselves. So I'm going to share just a few of the examples that stood out to me in the chapters leading up to our passage from today. When Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted by the devil, I see him responding, you won't find God simply by doing what's easy. The devil said, eat these stones, they'll turn into bread. Throw yourself off the temple, the angels will hold you up. Do these things, it'll be easy. Jesus says, that's not how you find God. When he invites his first disciples to leave their fishing nets behind and join him in fishing for people, I see him saying to them, you won't find God by simply doing what you've always done before. Just doing what you know to do, that won't lead you to God. When he's with his disciples up on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, teaching them about true blessings, which we call the Beatitudes, he's telling them, you won't find God by simply seeking what the world tells you to seek. Be rich, be powerful. He says, no. The blessings come, God comes in the opposite, the things that we don't hear the world teaching us. A bit later, he fleshes out certain elements of the Jewish law. There are multiple places where he says, you've heard it said in the law for thousands of years, but I say something a little different, something a little newer. And I hear him saying in that, you won't find God by simply believing what you've always been taught, even by religion. There are things that he says through which he seems to be saying, you won't find God by just doing what looks good, just doing what makes the people around you feel good, just doing even what looks right, if that's why you're doing it, just doing things solely for the praise of others. He gives examples like praying long, wordy prayers, or giving money for public recognition. If that's why you're doing it, you're not going to find God. And then there's more. He says you won't find God by using empty words, and not just in your prayers, but in your words to other people. It's just for flattery. That's just for their praise. That's just what they want to hear. And you won't find God if you just look at what's easy and quick, what's on the surface. If you just see what's easy to see, you'll miss God. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, up until this point, Jesus seems to be saying, watch me. Him, not me. Listen to me. Pay attention to me and you'll see God. Seek God. And you will find in that your truest self, and you will live more fully within the kingdom of God. Seems to me that throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is saying, just doing what's easy won't lead you to God. Just doing what you've always done won't lead you to God. Just seeking what the world around you tells you to seek won't lead you to God. Just believing what you have always been taught, even in your religion, won't lead you to God. Just doing what looks like the right thing, what looks good to the people around you, what earns you their praise, won't lead you to God. Just saying what sounds like the right thing, what sounds good to the people around you, what leads you to win their approval, won't lead you to God. None of those things will lead us to God until the fullness of life that God offers us. All of those things will keep us living smack dab in the middle of the world. None of those things will lead us to discover the fullness of ourselves. They'll keep us living limited lives, diminished versions of ourselves. None of those things will lead us to truly living a spirit-filled, God-filled existence. They'll keep us living a life tossed and turned by worry, by fear, by doubt, by uncertainty. But all of those things are so easy to do. They're so comfortable for all of us. They're the things that we tend to do and keep doing unless something pushes us to do otherwise. We tend to do what's easy. We tend to do what we've always known to do unless we have a really, really good reason not to. We tend to pursue the things that the world offers us, that the world sometimes whispers and sometimes shouts, these are the things you want. We tend to seek those things and to believe what we've been taught until we're given a really good reason not to. We tend to want to do what the people around us want us to do. We tend to say what we think people will want us to hear. We tend to see the things that are easily, readily visible until something really pushes us away from that, breaks us out of that. All of those things tend to become the authorities in our lives. They tend to be the guiding principles of our lives, most often without us even realizing it, until we deliberately and consciously choose otherwise. And maybe that's where the sword Jesus was talking about comes in. Maybe. This is a work in progress. Maybe that's what it takes for us to cut ties with those things. Maybe it takes something like the slash of a sword for us to let go of just doing what's easy, of doing what we've always done without thinking about it. Maybe it takes something like the sharp cut of a sword to separate us from the idea of seeking what the world around us wants us to seek, what the world seduces us into wanting. Maybe it takes something like the cut of a sword to separate us from the idea of mindlessly believing what we've always been taught and what the world around us wants us to believe. Maybe it takes something as forceful as the slash of a sword to move us away from doing and saying what we think the people around us want us to do and say, and seeing what's on the surface, seeing what's easy to see. Maybe Jesus knows that that's what needs to happen in order for us to truly move away from all that binds us to our smaller selves, our more fearful selves, and to find the freedom to really move toward God, becoming and knowing our truest self, our fullest self, and then to gradually move toward living genuinely as people of God. Maybe Jesus knows that without something forceful and powerful and decisive, like a sword, it won't happen. I don't know. But I do believe he longs for that to happen, that God longs for that to happen for each of us and for all of us, for all of God's people. And maybe, just maybe, as we move away from turning our power over to what's easy, what's convenient, what's popular, what will make us feel good, what will make others feel good, what will make us feel powerful, what we think is expected. As we're able to move away from that and move toward claiming the power that we find in God to become our truest selves, the fullest version of ourselves, the most expansive version of ourselves, we will move toward God. And we'll move toward living more fully from within the kingdom of God. And maybe as we do that, we will also move toward peace. True peace. Not superficial peace, not easy peace, not agree to disagree peace, but peace that comes with justice, widespread justice and abundance and hope and belonging. God's peace. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. Maybe that means simple peace, superficial peace, peace that we think is easy. Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. But maybe through that sword, ultimately, will come true and deep and lasting peace. I have to hope so. I have to believe so. May it be so. Amen.